Morning.
Oh, boy, it's a rough night, wasn't it, eh? Should we try that one again? Morning, boys and girls.
Morning.
Oh, that's better. Well, I don't know whether you've been praying for me or against me, but I feel a lot better than I did last Sunday. I feel you must have suffered somewhat from the ministry last Sunday, but anyway, you're going to suffer even worse today because I feel so much better. My wife is on the horizon. Irrespective of the circuits being out, I've been able to talk to her in Nassau. She's coming up tomorrow. She's got a ticket, so I've got to start behaving. So I'm going to practice today and then do it properly tomorrow. Okay, we've been talking, for those who weren't with us last Sunday, about the divine nature of God. What an overwhelming subject. A subject which we believe is sadly neglected these days. And if we were to get more into the infinite wonder of who and what God is, then I'm sure it would dramatically change our lives. It would give us a deeper appreciation of God through Christ, and also it would obviously have a greater dynamic effect upon our own hearts and our own lives. Sunday night we looked at the love of God. Today we're going to look at the grace of God. Well, this morning we're going to look at the grace of God. So turn with me, please, to John's Gospel, and we'll read something there from the first chapter. Chapter 1 of John's Gospel. Beginning to read at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came as a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him gave thee the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father hath declared him. May God's blessing on the reading of his precious word. Well, as we saw Sunday night in our reflection on the love of God as part of his divine nature, we learned afresh that God is love and love is of God. Not just that he is loving, but that he is love. And similarly also with grace. God is grace itself, and grace is God. Grace is the very nature. God is the originator of grace, and the essence of God is grace. What a wonderful God we have. You know, so often we get so blasé of it, don't we? We take it for granted. But these are the essentials of the great God whom we've come to know, who's been shown to us through his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is not only his nature, but it is in grace and through grace that he interacts with his creation. I say that because we as human beings, we might be gracious, but we're very selective. And also usually precondition our grace as we show it and share it with others. But that's not so with God. That is not so with God, as we will discover. And so let's start out then with a definition of grace. What does grace mean? What do we actually understand by this word grace or graciousness or any other permutation of the word grace? Well, it's simply that of loving kindness. That's all it is. But in saying that's all it is, that is in fact what it is. Loving kindness. And when you consider the fallen race of Adam and our reprobate minds, we haven't got a decent thought in our head other than that which is given to us by God, by His grace. And yet God comes out to us in this amazing loving kindness, which is both God's character and His nature. And if we say we are the sons and the daughters of God, guess what? Shouldn't that same nature of His, that of loving kindness, irrespective of who and what, be seen in our own lives? Be seen in our own lives? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 reads like this: Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand on high. Goes without saying that then the Lord Jesus Christ, in those fivefold clauses of that amazing verse, the third verse of the first chapter of Hebrews, I once studied that continuously for 6 months. All five aspects of that verse. It'll take you to the far corners of Scripture. And when I finished it, well, I didn't finish it, I just thought I'd scratch the surface. The enormity and the amazement of who indeed our Lord Jesus Christ is. I recommend the study to you. It may take you a shorter time because my dull understanding, but an overwhelming study. And in it and all of it, we see this tremendous expression of God's loving kindness coming out to undeserving man. Plus, it's also seen in many acts of God's goodness towards man. It's God's free favor. And it's God's goodwill to man, not that he deserves it. It's undeserved. It's unmerited. We're not worthy of it at all. And indeed, I'm sure we would all agree to that. God exercises it and communicates it to us in a free and a generous manner. Isn't that so opposite to the nature of man? We watch our news bulletins, we read our newspapers, I was going to say we read our radios then, but we listen to our radios, don't we? And the bitterness and the hatred that is in man, and sadly so say supposed to be through the religions of this world. The God of Islam, which obviously can't be the God of the Christian, the recipients of Islam do not know anything of love. They fear Allah. Not so us, who are the recipients of God's goodness, God's grace, God's loving kindness. There are many things that are called grace, because they flow from Him who is grace. And just for a little instance, let's have a look at the gospel. That has obviously got to be the greatest demonstration of grace, hasn't it? Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The loving kindness of God has brought us salvation. And it's appeared to us all. How? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, hasn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. When that day comes, when I give you $1 million, I really would be gutted if you weren't grateful, naturally speaking. And yet how often have we received not just forgiveness, not just eternal life, not just the escape from hell, but indeed the Spirit of God in our very beings to readjust our thinking in line with His, that our motivations may be born of Himself. But if we take for granted this great loving kindness, this graciousness of God in giving us Christ, well, that's a bit rough, isn't it? It's a bit ungracious of us not to respond in ways that we should to this amazing loving kindness of God, unmerited. We didn't even ask for it. We were totally blind and oblivious of it. But it has come out to us in the form of the gospel that we receive not the grace of God in vain, but that it should be productive in us, not just save us. But as I said before, we are saved to serve. Even the gift of preaching the gospel, Romans chapter 12, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether of prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith and so on. The very gifts, the very abilities that we have as the Lord's people, they're certainly not the same all the way round. I may be able to speak, you may be able to pastor, you may be able to do those loving kind deeds in the background. Our good friend Tony can play that organ, many can play that organ, but I can, the only playing I can do is discord, yeah? He plays that chord. Yeah? Our gifts vary, but even those are given to us. I mean, if we were all me or all Tony, boy, we'd be all boring lot, wouldn't we? But the variety of gifts that God has given, and he's given to them to us out of his loving kindness. How do we use the gifts that God has given us? Sadly, to a great extent, we self-ingratiate ourselves in them. We use them to our own personal benefit, our own gain. And yet, as somebody said to me early in the years of my Christian service, you know, Brother Mark, all your possessions are given to you by God as tools for your service. And I remember that when I drove up to my assembly in a brand new car that had been given to us. The loving kindness of God. We still had our old car. As I got more and more into the ministry and the work of the rescue mission in Birmingham, I had to hand over to my wife all the visitation that I used to do amongst the elderly, the sick, the decrepit, the old and all the rest of it. She went off and did that, and we needed of a necessity two vehicles. Comes an elder to me across the parking lot, and he says, hang on. He said, is this a new car? So I said, yeah, isn't it good? He said, well, what are you doing with it? I said, well, that's a funny question, isn't it? I said, look, I said, my old one's over there as well. He said, so you got two cars? I said, yeah, I said, got two cars. I said, isn't that fantastic? He said, why have you got two cars? So I said, well, I need two cars. Gee, he said, I wish we had two cars. And it hit me right there. I said, why do you wish you two had two cars? Well, he said, it's the thing, isn't it? He said, it shows that you're prosperous and you're going somewhere in the world to have two cars. And I felt sad for that brother, an elder too, that he desired things as possessions rather than to acquire things as tools. And I can honestly tell you, whatever I own is because it is a tool needed in our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we say that from our hearts? That through the loving kindness of God and the gifts that he has given us, whether they're personality gifts, character gifts, or actual possessions, gifts from God, all these are to be used in his service. The gift of the gospel, the gift of preaching the gospel. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Whereof I was made a minister, how? According to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than least of all the saints is this grace given that I should preach amongst the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. My, how blessed we have been endowed, not just with the salvation, but the ongoing loving kindness of God. Indeed, it behoves us to appreciate it and use it. The blessings of grace are seen in justification and also adoption. I won't dwell on this too much because I want to dwell on it a little longer if we have time. But 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 says this, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own power and, guess what, his loving kindness or his grace, which was given to us in Christ. And look at this. When was it given to us in Christ? Before the world began. Before the world began. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Them who have been justified, to those who have been adopted as sons and daughters of the great God, his loving grace will come out to us, not according to who we are. We cannot prompt God. But God, even before the world was created, knew of you, knew of me. Isn't that amazing? Marvelous, isn't it? And he had already planned the grace and the loving kindness that he's going to shower on you this morning, this afternoon, and this evening. To think that before the world was created, God in his grace and his loving kindness to Mark Lacey touched the heart of Rupert and his dear wife to invite me to lunch today. Huh? Wow. Now you need to pray for them, don't you? Huh? That the loving grace of God might be shown through them, and me also, that I might show loving grace in appreciation for that amazing lunch that I'm going to have this afternoon. And if the service tonight is short or long, you will know it's a result of what I ate lunchtime. Only the loving grace, loving kindness, even before the worlds and the universe were put together, he was mindful of you. He was mindful of me. Staggering, isn't it? Staggering. What is our response to that? What is God's response to that? Grace is also seen in regenerate people by their faith and their hope and their love. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Like we were saying earlier about that vehicle. God has given us everything we need in order to accomplish, accomplish the work that he has gifted us to do. That's wonderful, isn't it? So if God leads you to do this or to do that, he will give you the wherewithal to do it. Somebody did accuse me of building property and getting into property investment and heaven knows what with the new haven that you saw on the screen last Thursday night. And I was deeply saddened. I said, that is just a tool within which we can do the work that we have been called to do amongst the people who are so desperately in need of God's grace and God's love. I should be heartily thankful when the construction is fully completed. We can then get on in more detail and reach out more thoroughly to those that we're seeking to minister to. But God has given us the wherewithal. When I think back those 6.5 years ago and didn't have a dime, not even a red copper cent. And yet we put our faith and trust in God for those buildings and that land. And God has given it to us. Isn't it wonderful? The loving kindness of God to equip us and to train us and to give us these skills and these abilities, these gifts, thought of before the beginning of creation. But then we need to also, in talking about grace, we need to distinguish between the grace in God and the grace of God. Grace is God and God is grace. We found that out, didn't we? But I want to use an illustration here of a fountain. Now, we don't have too many rivers here in the Bahamas, do we? We don't have too many mountains. I think our Mount Everest here is somewhere in Cat Island, all of what, about 200 feet? Well, I think I might even get up to that height. But back home in England, we've got a few. And because of the way the rain comes down and everything else, we get these springs bursting out of the hillsides. And they run down and they form little streams, creeks and streams, and they go on into rivers. It's not like these sort of ponds that you see in people's front yards, or as we call them in England, gardens. you know, the water's straight up and it goes down into the pool and then it goes into through a pump and it comes back out. It's recirculating, isn't it? It's God's mercy, God's grace, God's love is not like that at all. It's fresh every day. It's like a fountain coming out of the mountain and it flows down and it gets broader and wider and we have a whole river of it, don't we? And it flows out from God. It's the same as a sense as we speak about cause and effect. Now, if I was to punch you on the end of the nose, you would have a reaction, wouldn't you? Well, the punch would be the cause, your reaction would be the effect. But with God's grace, it arises out from His good nature. Nothing you and I can do can provoke the sovereign will of God. The sovereign will of God is sovereign. Because He is holy, He chooses what to do. Now, we have to be very careful with that concept. Because in the little world that I live in, with those that we seek to minister to, we try and counter that very concept. They come to us having done what they liked, when they liked, how they liked, and with who they liked. And they didn't give a monkey's as to how it affected anybody. That is not the way God's sovereign will works. We ever need to remember that God is intrinsically holy and perfect and pure and divine and whatever other adjective you can describe Him by. And so whatever He chooses to do has got to be right and holy and perfect, hasn't it? In accordance with that which is conducive to His grace, to His mercy, and to His love. Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. And He said, I will make all My goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before Me, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Now, we've got finite minds, haven't we? Some of our minds are smaller than other minds. Mine's very small. But it's not that small that I can't understand a little bit of what it must be for God to have an infinite mind that stretches from eternity to eternity. For He Himself, being Spirit, fills the universe, is aware and cognizant of anything and everything that is going on. This same God will do that which is right. Remember sitting down with a couple. In fact, she was my cousin. And they've been given the wonderful gift of this little baby. And the third day of this little baby's life, it died. Apparently he was only born with three heart valves. And of course the questions came, why? In God's infinite goodness, He gave and He took. They were so distraught. What a funeral that was to take. But in subsequent times, six daughters later, he's still trying for a son. Poor fella. In fact, he'd been living in the house with seven women. That takes the grace of God, doesn't it? He was able to tell me this. He says, Brother Mark, God took her to be with Himself. The God who does nothing wrong in His grace and His mercy spared that child from the rigors of this world. There's an aspect of mercy that we may look at tonight in respect to the many abortions or the millions of abortions that are committed over the period of a year. Tragic and wretched and evil and wicked though it may be, they're precious lives in the presence of God though, aren't they? Amazing the grace and the providence of God. Romans chapter 11 verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Again, it's nothing that we can acclaim. We can't attain to a certain level that will then provoke God's grace, can we? We are totally and utterly and completely redundant as sinners. Everything, 101% that we receive from God is free, unprovoked by us, and comes from His heart of loving kindness, grace. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. Hope you begin to get something of the unmeasurable whatever of this. It is quite marvellous in our hearts and our minds, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now imagine if these skills and abilities given to us, before we were saved, we used to attain some sort of value in God's sight. Well, you can imagine the bragging rights going on, couldn't you? I attain my salvation by this, and the other will go on about that, and oh man, you never hear the end of it. The vain glory of man. But no, each of us are the same in God's sight, aren't we? Doesn't matter what culture or what ethnic background we come from. That was one of the joys in working in the rescue mission. We have the Bible in 40 different languages in the city of Birmingham. We have so many foreigners living in our cities in England. Old England, of course, was the hub of the Commonwealth, wasn't it? And when many of these countries went independent, some of them didn't want to stay in their countries of birth, and by rights, having British passports, they came to England, and they set up home in England. Many kept and preserved their cultures, naturally speaking. And many haven't even integrated in British society at all. And there's little conclaves of these little sort of countries all over England. In fact, some of the Bible colleges and the missionary organizations, before you go to the country that you believe the Lord has sent you to, you have the opportunity of working in that country within England. We had one man, he wanted to work in Pakistan. And you see, what happens is, we digress a little here, they buy a house at the beginning of the street and a house at the end of the street and one in the middle. And then they start their Islamic parties all night long and they go on for a week to 10 days. Now, we Brits, we ain't going to stand that too long, so we move out. And gradually they take over the entire street. And so you've got Pakistan removed right there into the centre of Birmingham. And so we send the missionaries in to live in that situation and to live out the grace and the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ. And then they go on. Actual fact, this one guy, his name was Rupert Abbott, and he went to the very village that these people who had moved into Birmingham had originated from. And he would go back and forth and be an ambassador between the two. He had an incredible ministry. And many found Christ through his work, praise God. But let's have a look at grace as an attribute, which of course only and wholly resides in God. Man can only exhibit grace as a result of experiencing God. So corrupted is our basic thought ability prior to being Christians, that our thoughts are only naturally for self, for what I can gain out of any situation. But that is totally the opposite from God, isn't it? God's love gives, God's love gives, God's grace gives, showered upon us. It's fresh every day, it's unlimited. But we want to draw it like a magnet to ourselves, don't we? And as Christians, this is a most important aspect of our testimony. That it should be seen that the grace of God is seen to be flowing out of us. Not that we should be continually recipients of grace from everybody else, but that we should be the instigator of God's grace to one another. All of which is beautifully encapsulated in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath shown us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now just to show you how dumb and thick and stupid I was as a kid, when I read this I used to think, well, he's obviously only got so much grace and he could run out, so I won't bother to go asking for it. But it's not the way it is it? According to the riches of his grace. And according to the riches of his grace, it's endless, it's boundless. We'll never, ever fully explore it, will we? Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace, by his loving kindness, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Redeemed, justified. How? By the loving grace, the loving kindness of our great God. As we said earlier, grace is like a fountain. Flows out of the hillside, out of the mountainside. That spring bubbles out, gurgles out, becomes a little creek, flows into a stream, into a river. But now I want you to consider something like the Mississippi Delta. I don't know whether you did that in your geography. It's well ingrained in my mind anyway. That jolly great old river, the Mississippi, how it divides thousands and thousands of times on its way down out into the great sea. And so also, I want you to imagine God's grace as two major rivers. First of all, there's the one that we call natural grace. Natural grace. This is what Adam enjoyed before he sinned in the Garden of Eden. It was totally due to God's unmerited kindness and goodness to Adam and Eve. Included Adam and Eve's his holiness, his righteousness, his knowledge, his understanding, his communion that he had with God, his dominion that he was given over the creatures. All of it was of God's choosing, God's grace, and it came from God. Then, of course, Adam sins, doesn't he? Well, Eve does first, but we won't go into that one right now. But anyway, man sinned, fell from God's intrinsic wonderful standard. But even so, God's grace is mercifully measured out still, isn't it? He has life still. He has the ability to reason. He has all the temporal blessings of life. He has the goodness and he has the providence of God. Remember, it's the gracious words from God's mouth that upholds things. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness or grace of God leadeth them to repentance? Remember traveling around England one time on business, listening to the radio, and a lady was interviewing a guy who had walked around the entire coastland of England, Scotland and Wales. And it took him a considerable period of time. It wasn't as if he was trying to break any records now. And this lady who was interviewing him said, well, what took you so long? What took me so long? He says, oh, listen here. He said, I started out as an atheist. He said, and as I started to walk the coastline of England, I would sit and contemplate on my surroundings. He said, and I came to the assumption that there had to be a force of power behind it all. He said, and so much so, he said, I walked into a village, he said, and I bought a Bible, and I continued to walk, sit, and read. Walk, sit, and read. And he read from Genesis through to Revelation as he walked around the coastline of England, Scotland, and Wales. And he found the Saviour. It brought him to repentance. Indeed, we have beauty around us here in these beautiful islands, don't we? How do they speak to you? Or like the love and the mercy of God, do we take them for granted? The loving kindness of God in the natural sense. And then secondly, the supernatural sense. It's that work of spiritual nature and grace that God does in the heart of man, doesn't it? Isn't it? For grace is evident in redemption. Grace is evident in justification. Grace is evident in forgiveness, in adoption, and in our sanctification. The whole process which we call becoming or being saved. Romans 8 verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. The loving grace and kindness of God to do that for you and me. Eh? And he did it all through his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who he did not spare, but permitted to be that all-time sacrifice for you and I. 1 Corinthians 15:10 tells us, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, for I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. dear apostle, he was aware of the loving kindness of God that rescued him from the wretched life and the things and the wicked things that he did in the persecution of the children of God. And he lived every day in appreciation of the grace of God, his loving kindness. And he used it also, and he showed the loving kindness of God in his ministry, in his preaching, and in his teaching. The spiritual grace over and against that which is natural grace. Ephesians 1 verse 6, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in God through Christ by his overwhelming loving kindness. So we are the end result then of God's grace. Therefore, as we said earlier, and we need to reiterate yet again, should we not live out a life of loving kindness? It's easy sometimes to do it to those who are easily loved, isn't it? But that again is human reaction, isn't it? But we need really to be showing that loving grace that God showed to us while we were still unlovely, which he planned so to do before the world was put into being. Shouldn't we be almost even now be planning and thinking acts of loving kindness to do unto the unlovely of our community? Those who are against us, those who want to devise things that are going to bring into our community more sadness, more tragedy, more broken lives. And yet we need to reach out to them in his form of grace, loving kindness. Supernatural grace of God is displayed in the covenant which he has made with his elect in Christ. Secondly, his supernatural grace is made manifest in the adoption of the chosen ones in Christ. I wanted to spend 20 minutes on each of these, but it doesn't look as though we're going to do it today. Supernatural grace of God, which is seen in his redemption by Jesus Christ. The supernatural grace of God, which is very conspicuous in justification. Supernatural grace of God, which is abundant and evident in regeneration, in calling, and in sanctification. Well, we're not going to get into those this morning, aren't we? Perhaps maybe I've whetted your appetite, though, to go and search out more of the amazing grace of God, his loving kindness, just to you, just to me. How do we respond to this? Lord, if your loving grace has been so wonderful, it's touched me, then indeed you should allow you to use my life in loving kindness, that through it all, others might come to know the loving grace and kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, indeed, we are overwhelmed by thy loving kindness, so undeserved by us. And yet, our Father, many of us here this morning are indeed recipients of it, naturally and both spiritually. But, Father, we search our hearts out and we ask ourselves this question: how have we responded? With what sort of grace do we live our lives? How do we show loving kindness, especially to the unlovely of our community? Father, challenge our hearts and refresh our hearts this morning as we've dwelt on this beautiful attribute of thy holy self, thy loving kindness to a godless people, in that even before the world began, you devised the plan of salvation in your grace to reach out to us, and you brought us to yourself as sons and daughters through your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, it sounds so simple, sounds so void and empty to say thank you. But from our deep hearts this morning, we do bless you, our God, for your loving kindness towards sinful man. So we ask these things for his name's sake and for his glory. Amen.